Look what I found.
Dear ducks, my name is Mallard P. Quack. I am not a real duck. Stay away. Translation, quack, quack,
honk. Quack, 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 honk.
Hey guys, welcome back to Spooky Tuesday, a weekly podcast where we're breaking down all of our favorite slashers, thrillers, monster movies, and black comedies on the new scariest day of the week. I'm Sydney Thompson.
I'm Monica Hyatt.
And I'm Chelsea Dove.
Hold on, Chelsea. I know you're so excited to talk about this movie, but you can't. We have to remind everyone that we are selling merchandise right now, and it's your final four days to buy it.
It's the final countdown.
Oh, they love it when we sing. So this is really gonna sell these shirts, hats, and crew necks.
We're trying to move merch.
We're trying to move product, and we're trying to move it quickly. This is a limited window of opportunity. You only have until Friday, the 12th at 11:59 Pacific time to get your orders in. And we have really cool stuff. What do we have, Sydney?
We have shirts. We have sweatshirts. We have dad hats for all the dads out there.
We know,
and
we have some dad listeners. The hats are embroidered. Yeah, I don't know if you can tell that from it.
I don't know if you guys knew that.
Yeah, they're fancy hats.
They are fancy, fancy hats. They honestly look so cool. Like, don't sleep on the camo hat, y'all. Don't sleep on the camo hat. Don't sleep on the pink hat. The pink hat's really cute.
Pink hat's also cute, yeah. Like, which one do I want? You know, it's hard to choose.
I know. I'm like, am I going to buy all of them? No, I'm not going to do that.
And there's, like, six colors of sweatshirt. And there's, like, six colors of t-shirt. And I want all of them. So that's a real predicament for me. I'm going to have to decide. You're also going to have to decide. But if you go on our Instagram and look at our pinned posts, you can see all your options. You can also go straight to the store and look at your options there. And then you'd be so prepped and ready to add one to your cart when you made a decision.
Ooh, baby. But yeah, you can get to that link in the show notes. So whatever app you're on, the link is right there in the show notes. And also, it's in the link in our bio. So you can get to it. Anywhere there's links, it's the link to buy our merchandise.
We promise we made it pretty easy to find.
But yeah, we cannot wait for these to be produced. I'm very excited about it. We're all going to look so cute. And again, what did we decide our hashtag was going to be? Hashtag Spooky Tuesday Swag. Once you get your stuff, we want to see pics of you
but
wearing
also,
it.
But also, like, don't you want to match us? Like, you could wear it while you listen to us, and we'll wear it while we yap, and we can all be one happy big family.
That'd be so cute.
And like, if you're watching the video episode right now, you might see that I'm wearing a Spooky Tuesday hat, but this is bootleg merch, you guys. This is one of a kind. And
it's
if we all get new hats,
we're gonna
match together. We'd match together.
We can do that.
Monica and I don't even have one of those Spooky Tuesday hats. It's
no.
No. This is the only one that exists in the world.
Yeah, and whenever she wears it, I get super jealous, but not for long, because I'm going to have the camo version with the new logo, so it's going to be sick. But yeah, we're really excited about merch. And if you got the hat and I got the hat and you're walking on the streets of LA and you see me and I see you, we can point at
each other
and we can go, same hat.
Oh my God.
That's a meme that everybody loved in college. So I don't know if you know about the same hat meme, but that could be us. I'll send it to Chelsea. She can edit the hats onto it for social. It's going to be crazy. But anyway, merchandise. You only have until Friday the 12th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So don't sleep on it. Tick tock, as they say.
Now back to the episode.
Continue now, Chelsea. Seamless transition.
And this week we're doing a Chelsea pick. This is a movie that I put on the schedule a couple of weeks ago at this point. I think when we did creep. It got me thinking about this one for a couple different reasons.
I could see
But little
that.
did I know. Well, because I went like creep, the one I love, honeymoon. And I think the one I love in honeymoon in particular, although there is a clear reference with the car keys again later in this movie. But I didn't know at the time how, in conversation with another recent movie, this one would actually be. So I'm thrilled to see how the timing has worked out. But if you haven't seen Honeymoon, it's from 2014. It stars Rose Leslie and a guy whose name I believe is like Harry Treadway or something like that. Sorry to him, I'll look up his name in a second. But it's by director Lee Janiak, who did the Fear Street movie. So we did Fear Street, the first one, long time ago at this point. Yeah, Harry Treadaway. So we're seeing some familiar faces, we're seeing some familiar names. But if you haven't seen Honeymoon, I'll give you the log line real quick. We'll just dive in. It reads, a newlywed couple finds their lake country honeymoon descends into chaos after Paul finds Bee wandering and disoriented in the middle of the night. So, I don't know if
That
you
is what
guys,
happens.
that is what happens. I feel like I've said this on here before. I think when we also first did, what's the name of that movie? Actually, hold on. Well, it's in my comp notes. I wrote it down.
I don't know what you're talking about yet.
You
What keeps
paused
you
and you didn't
alive?
move, and I thought you were frozen. And I was like, is she there?
I was
I
frozen
was buffering. The screen was not buffering. I was buffering, but I got there. What keeps you alive? We did for Pride a
Yes.
zillion
Oh,
years
it's
ago.
so what keeps you alive. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think before we put What Keeps You Alive on our Pride schedule, we had looked up like summer movies. And that's like also we go away. I mean, obviously that's also literally we just got married. We're going to have a honeymoon in the woods movie. But I must have read the description for that at the same time I read the description for this, because watching that, I was expecting this. And so when I finally randomly just like watched this on Hulu at some point in the last 6 months, I was like, oh, this is that movie that I have been thinking about in the back of my head for 3 years now. So I was excited to see it then. I was excited to talk about it at some point, and we put it on the schedule a couple of weeks ago. But now that we've done Possession, I don't know if you guys remember on our
Oh,
Possession episode 2 weeks ago, I was like, there's a movie coming up that's really much more
this is
interesting to me
the
now.
pigeon pin. We're taking the
This
pin
is
out of
the
the pigeon
pigeon
pin.
pin. Yes, exactly.
Wow. When I
Precisely.
went to pulling clips for that, we got to that part and I was like, I really wonder if she'll remember to bring it up. And look at you go, girl.
Look at me
You
go,
did it.
girl. I
Weeks
was
later.
no way. I was, because, oh my God. Okay. I've obviously still been thinking about Possession since we did it 2 weeks ago. As you
It
can
really
imagine,
stays with
yes,
you.
which is why you liked it. And at the time, I was like, I watched this movie, but I'm going to continue to process it for a long time. I am still processing. We also just, timeline wise, in our real world and not in the podcast episode release world, we just finished our social week for Possession yesterday. So I'm very much still was like actively thinking and processing Possession, doing social posts about it up until yesterday. I could not find much research really comparing these two movies other than saying like nods to Possession and like blah 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 blah. But like, wow, I really feel like there's a fucking lot there. Did you guys think of that movie at all while watching this movie?
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days.
Cunt, 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 cunt.
I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit, bitch, and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on the big oh, wait, I thought we were going to say that together.
No, on the big cunty couch. Mwah.
It was definitely in the back of my mind, probably, but I was just trying to like.
It's a lot to take in the first time. Sure.
I don't have. Let me start there. You have a unique thing with your brain where you automatically connect what you're watching in real time to things you've seen in the past. I'm always impressed by it. That does not happen for me. I'm usually like, this is the first time I've ever seen anything in my entire life. And I was
pattern recognition brain. Yeah.
You're so good at that. But yes, no, I totally see the parallels now. But
there was a scene at the end that we'll get to at some point that I was like,
yeah!
That
this
yes.
seems There's this seems right on the nose. End
that really seem on the nose to me. Okay, but let me, sorry, I'm launching right in because I've been looking forward to this conversation for 2 weeks now. What was your first experience watching the movie? Why don't you tell me about that?
I immediately were like, these are virgins.
It's their first time. Yeah.
Well, not a single time except for right now on their honeymoon.
Oh my God.
Sure. I can see that, Reed.
Okay.
It was so bad.
They'll diarrhea first date, but they're saving sex for marriage.
That was so romantic. Diarrhea on the first date.
Look, if you diarrhea on the first date and you guys stay together, it is kind of romantic. Okay. Like, I really liked
so
you.
Funny.
No, yeah, I did the whole first date, but I just want to spend time with you.
That's very sweet. It's very lovely. And as a woman in a relationship that has a big focus on poop, I really related to that.
So, we do have a group chat that's just dedicated to our bowel movements.
We talk about shit a lot. It's like a
IBS hotties
for the record.
IBS hotties and Monica.
Good for you guys. I don't want to be in there, but I'm happy for you guys.
Thank you so much. So sorry. So I really honestly, I wasn't sure what I was getting into this because you told me not to look at anything. And so honestly, because I hadn't seen the trailer, hadn't seen anything for it, I was not excited to watch this movie because I was like, I have nothing to know.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I was like, okay, I gotta watch this movie. I don't know what it's going to be like. It could be like anything. But usually you and I like the same types of things. But, you know, anything could happen. But I was pleasantly surprised. I had a really fun time with this. And I wish there was more info online. When I was looking stuff up, I wanted more discourse. But the discourse I did see made me really angry. And then parts of it I thought was actually really, really interesting. And then so I have exciting discussion questions now posed by Redditors, but now they're my questions too. But yeah, I thought one thing though at the very beginning was, I don't know what it was, and I don't know if it was just like my mindset going into it, but it felt like really their romance was so cute. But it felt like so fucking cheesy to me. But then I was like, well, they are on their fucking honeymoon and they're like giddy
in love. There's a time
love
to be corny, cheesy. Yeah.
And corny.
And they're virgins.
And maybe they're virgins.
Where are you getting this virgin thing from?
Everything that how they acted just screams virgin.
They're very excited to fuck. They're so excited to fuck. They do it a lot and then they don't do it again after that.
Well, they want to, but they can't because of other things.
Yeah, because they're still processing their first times together. This is what happens when you do sex for the first time, actually.
You don't go from doing missionary sex for the first time to fucking in the bathtub. That's not your second time. Your second time is not fucking in the bathtub.
Well, they did it four times the first night. Didn't you hear about her womb needing to rest?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was
him saying,
funny.
Because I just fucked you so hard. I'm sorry, virgin.
The way that they
talk
about
sex. That's a man that
sex.
Just had sure. sex for the first time.
Yeah, I feel like that's part of it. I think that the writing a little bit is cheesy for some of the parts. I still love the overall story, but I feel like it was like a little bit of a cheese fest. And also, I don't know, part of it reminded me, you know, I keep talking about killing a sacred deer. And how, like, people acted a little bit not human And so like they stylized the acting where they not acting like normal humans in that movie. And at the beginning of this, I was like, is that what's happening here? Because something feels so weird to me. But what I think it actually is that both of these actors are first timers doing an American accent. I read this interview with Rose Leslie, and she was like, yeah, like we both hadn't really done that before. So that was their first time. They had to keep each other on top of it with their American accents. But really weirdly, sorry. And then I'll let you say something. Her accent that she chose for being an American is the exact voice of my friend. So it was really fucking scary. It was like my friend was talking to me the whole time. Chelsea, you have the floor.
What I was going to say about the cheesy, corny dialogue not sounding like real people is counterpoint. I think sometimes that is what real people fucking sound like, where you say something and then it is stupid dumb and you're like, why did I say it like that? But like in movies, dialogue is so streamlined most of the time that it's like, if it's going to come off corny to the audience, you don't want it to, because that's not what you were going for. Whereas in real life, like sometimes you just say something and then you're like, that was a really strange word choice, but it's too late because I can't turn back time. Like
sometimes that is an inherent.
Yeah, that's real. That's so real. You know,
it is like, real. No, you're right.
Real people are cringe, and movie people are usually less cringe unless they're making a point of it. Yeah. And I don't really think they're making a point of it here necessarily, so much as just like it is a very small budget contained movie. Lee Janiak, this is her first feature film. And total, she like indie. Wrote it, directed it. The movie came together thinking of like, how can we do something that feels like it has kind of like big implications for with as little resources as possible, which is another kind of like creep thing that it's doing, you know what I mean, where it's like, let's just really streamline locations, let's really streamline cast. Again, we see later on that they have some like practical effect stuff, but even that is so limited for what they're implying with this movie. I mean, like, if this were a big budget studio film, I'm sure they would have gotten a lot of notes that was like, can we tweak XYZ and make it sound a little more alluring? And instead it's just a small team. And so if I don't recognize it as cringe when I write it, I don't necessarily have four people to point it out to me later.
Well, I honestly think that the fact that this is such an indie, low budget, like not bare bones, but kind of bare bones film is a benefit to it, because like giving this the big budget treatment, they would have like showed me the big bad and all that stuff. And you know my shtick, I stay all the time, I love to not know what the bad guy looks like, you know what I mean? Unless it ends up looking like the bad guy in Cloverfield, then it's great. But like, the less of that, the better a lot of the time, unless you fucking nailed monster design. And they're not going to have the money to do that, so it's smart that they didn't. And when they did do any sort of monster thing, it was something like, you know, not too complicated. Sometimes just a tapeworm is terrifying enough.
Vinny, what did you think about watching it?
I thought this movie actually built really, like, it had good tension. So, like, the build up was, like, really good. And then all of a sudden I was like, what the fuck is going on? It is kind of
a big what the fuck, yeah.
Like, it just went from, like, also, did y'all notice the frog?
Yes. That's what a reference to Jurassic Park.
Did you? Which frog? When they're in the boat or something and they're, like, floating, and all of a sudden she's just, like, having a staring contest with the frog. I was like, oh, Monica will love that part.
Oh, there's so much frog shit in this movie. She's a frog killer. I have theories about the frog, but it's not. It's too early for me to be saying what they are. But I was very upset that she killed frogs in her past. I was like, wow.
I guess they should be.
I thought I had a crush on you because you're Rose Leslie, and I do have a crush on you. But it's over now, and then immediately it was back. Immediately it was back because she's so cute.
Okay, Monica, don't look at me. I've also killed frogs. You go frog
eating. I actually have also killed a frog. So it was an accident, though.
I've never killed one, but I think I've eaten one. So
frog legs are delicious.
They've died for me. Yeah.
Yes.
The frogs are dying for our sins, okay? So it's fine. Frog Jesus.
I caught a cup of little frogs, and then what you did was you took the frogs and you threw them into the river, but I put a tree frog in there, and it never came out because it doesn't go in the water.
They don't swim.
And I murdered it. And that haunts my dreams. Don't worry. I think about it all the time.
Well, you're in good company with this movie.
But yeah, I mean, the first thing I thought when I watched this was like, oh, this is Sydney's worst nightmare for a honeymoon.
Let's go to Canada to go to the family cabin that I almost drowned in as a child. Like, what?
Interesting. Also, yeah, there was a lot of weird. That was such a weird aside. Remember when you almost drowned in this bathtub? Let's fucking it now.
Let's create some new memories. Also, I have a question about Will, the guy that she knew growing up. Mm-hmm. Why did he call her Trixie?
I think her name might be Beatrix.
Oh.
But they never explain that. You just have to go, what could BB be a nickname for? What could Trixie be a nickname for?
I missed when he said Trixie, luckily, so this didn't cross my mind.
But it did
feel very Jackie Megan, didn't it?
Yeah. I was like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We gotta be careful. Spoiler alerts for What Keeps You Alive. It's gonna come up.
Don't listen to this episode until you've gone and done your homework and listened to What Keeps You Alive and Possession and then comes back, because you should listen to the episode. Don't go away, but take a pause.
Oh, also, by the way, I just want to apologize again because I was talking to my friend Paul last night about how I made you guys do Possession. And I was like, yeah, I didn't tell him that much about it beforehand. They're like, Monica, that's kind of fucked up. And I was like,
I told you all
it was fucked up. I did do that. But I wasn't going to tell you more than that. Anyway. I'm sorry if you've experienced trauma, but it's a horror movie podcast.
It's a horror movie podcast. In the past, we've dealt with a lot of sensitive topics without necessarily needing amongst ourselves to have warnings for them. But I do always think about that. Like with this one, I was like, should I warn them of some sensitive topics that come up? Because I mean, again, not.
I wish you told me about the frog murder, and then I would have stated my claim to not do this. No, I'm kidding. Keep going.
Not to get too spoilery too soon, but again, your first experience watching this movie, when you don't yet know what kind of movie you're watching, there are a lot of moments where you're like, is XYZ happening right now? Is ABC happening right now? Like, am I watching a movie that's dealing with rape and sexual assault and domestic abuse? Like, what am I experiencing right now? And it's hard to know until you finish the movie. And even then, I think people have room for interpretation. You know what I mean? But I it was so interesting when I watched it the first time that I was like guessing and trying to figure it out. And then came to my own conclusions that I didn't want to bias your experience.
I urge everyone to live inside of my brain, because not for a second did I think, spoiler alert, that it's not like aliens or something. There was point where I was like, it's not anything else. It's aliens 100%. And yes, the aliens raped her. That's what probing is. That's literally what that is. It's literally just an alien raping you, which is horrible. And that's why the Kanye rap on E.T. is even more fucked up. But yeah, oh my God, the shit on Reddit.
You with the light beam.
Thank you, Sydney. The shit on Reddit made me crazy. You could say what it is.
What's on there.
Okay. I've seen things and it's like, this movie is just, I saw two different things. Like, this movie is just a metaphor. Actually, I saw three different things. One, this movie is like, realizing that you actually married the wrong person. I was like, that's a dumb joke. And then one of them was like, realizing
like motherhood and how motherhood is going to change your relationship, blah 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 blah.
Disagree. But,
like, I was just, like,
I did.
That's a popular reading though, because when I was trying to research overlap with possession, I found an article from a website called bitchflix.com. And I found an article from a website called thedirect.com. And both of those kind of talk about that and have like those similar themes from possession pulled in. And I don't know, maybe I'm kind of changing my stance on possession a little bit as well in hindsight as I continue to process it. I think this movie for sure is a love story.
I totally agree. And there's so many people on Reddit who were like, what the fuck happened? I have no idea what was that thing that happened. And I was like, it was aliens. I'm so sorry.
It's,
I was
like, she joined the hive. What do you think happened?
She's one of them now.
You're like, what could have happened?
Have you seen an alien to movie her? Before? I feel like I was a really clear takeaway for me.
I was like, am I a crazy person? Am I so far into aliens that like I'm like putting aliens everywhere? But like, this is so clearly aliens. There were some really good questions that were brought up through that. I don't know if we're there yet for them, but well, we're almost there. But like, it's aliens. I mean, it is interesting to frame it that way. I've honestly been engaging with a lot of literature and films about like that deal with the themes of like womanhood, male mm-hmm. expectations of womanhood. You know, you heard my whole spiel on possession about my take on it being like her discontent with the way the men in her life see her that birthed the monster. I just read Night Bitch. It has a lot of similar themes to that. I just finished that today. It fucking rocks. You should watch it or listen to it or read it. I listen to all my books, sorry. But like it, so I can totally see that take. But for me, I didn't think that this was such like, I mean, it is a deeper, there's deep things going on here, but it just felt like foreshadowing to me when she like had the panic about the baby, the baby panic. Okay. There's like a million foreshadowing things in this that are like super overt, but like, it's like, they didn't like make me mad, honestly, but like the baby thing, that's like, that's a natural thing for her to think about. It is a weird thing for him to be like, I hope your womb's okay or whatever.
That was so weird.
So he just doesn't know how to talk about it.
another you know, example of this man is a virgin.
Normal language to use.
Don't remind me that I have a womb.
Dirty talk, okay?
Yeah, he says, girl, womb. If we're not trying for a baby, please don't mention my womb, even though I know you just mean my vaginal canal, which you pounded out last night. But
just say pussy like a normal man.
Let's go back to sex ed, and I'm going to show you what the womb is, and I'm going to explain why that's different.
Yeah, you're not. If you're in the womb, then we've gone too far.
No, but I totally agree. I mean, I think part of I'll get into this a little more next week as well. But part of watching a movie is the collaboration between the movie as it exists and the audience as you perceive it and experience it. Totally. And that's part of what is like so magical about storytelling in whatever medium, is that the audience comes to the movie with their own experiences and thoughts and feelings and biases, and you take that away and it filters your view of things, and there can be more than one interpretation.
Totally.
And once the movie exists in its final form, it's not necessarily for the maker to say, you're wrong, here's what the right answer is. To me, this is so clearly a love story amidst an alien invasion. I'm sorry. That's how I feel.
No, I
totally
agree.
Instead of love in the middle of a firefight, it's love in the middle of an alien invasion.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
We're panicking at the cabin.
It's like an alien invasion, but it's the opposite of Signs, where water does not affect them at all. So they're good with that. But
they're,
in fact, jumping
into the water.
I think that the will part...
They can't look underneath it.
The will part definitely, I'm sure, threw some people off.
Yeah.
That's a sexy man, though, by the way. Just wanted to say shout out Ben Huber. Good job, even though it was scary because you were all angry. But that was like a good, like, I don't know, misdirection or whatever. And of course, I mean, let's look at this on its face. For Paul, a man who is on his honeymoon, of course he's going to assume that it's a tryst with someone else instead of aliens right away. I will give him that. I will give him that.
He didn't see the light flashing through the cabin that we saw in the first 2 minutes of the film or whatever. He's Paul's sleeping.
He's a freshly de-virginized man who is not me, uh-huh. Monica Haidt, who's obsessed with aliens and is thinking about aliens all the time. And I can see that and I understand that. And also the vibes were whack between B, the name B, B-E-A. I always want to say Bea. And I got really in the trouble. So I kind of need to stop looking at it. Otherwise, I'm going to call her Bea and it's just going to get weird. But
I had a friend.
The vibes
B, like
intense.
Honeybee.
Yeah.
I had a friend in high school who spelled her name B-E-A and she went by Bea.
Okay, that happens sometimes. I'm not crazy then.
People do all
Once
kinds
again,
of stuff. So creative.
People do all kinds of stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's her tryst from years back. Okay, honestly, I'm jealous of B because I also would go vacationing in the same place every summer in high school. And I was like, I'm going to have my summer love. It's going to fucking happen. Ever. Never. Not once. Not even one time. But she did that. And it was Will. And he's hot. So good for her. Paul should be happy for her that she has that.
Little high five, baby. Good job.
Be like,
obviously,
damn,
they didn't
nice
smash
catch.
Back in the day because that was her first smash in the beginning of this movie ever. But
there could have been heavy petting.
A little third base action, you know.
Over the clothes action, you know.
Some groping.
A little dry humping to practice.
Oh, a lot
my
of dry
God.
Humping, I think.
Just a little heavy petting between friends.
Here's the thing, dry humping is so back for 2024.
Oh, it was on the ins list.
It's
sure.
On the ins list, I'm just
it's
saying.
On the ins list, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Like, Sydney, you're so right. It really did build tension really, really well because, like, they're having such a good time. Everything's going so well. But, like, the introduction of Will and Annie's characters is so fucking weird. It's so weird. And the lights, I love the lights throughout, the power pulsing throughout the
mm-hmm.
film.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that. It was so good. It was so scary.
Yeah. I think they should. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Like you said, there is so much foreshadowing in this movie once you know what to look for. It's actually, if you know what you're watching, it's unbelievably heavy-handed.
It's so heavy-handed.
They have in
like,
the
here
beginning
is a rope. Like, reminder, she has a womb.
Yeah, it's like she is alone and now she's not. And here are my ducks that are not real. This one's an imposter. It's not like the other ducks. And
also,
you can hide inside of it.
Peck
at your nipple.
Yeah. And it can peck at your nipple. That's very important foreshadowing as well. But like when they start having the conflict as well, he's like, and she says something that I'm just tired from the wedding. He's like, you wanted to get married. And she's like, that's all that I want. And like, once you know the weight of that statement, it really like hits clearly as well.
Wait, can you explain that? Or is it too, are you not allowed to say, I don't get what you mean by that part. Maybe I missed something.
Okay. So, I mean, I think we've done
we're
a lot
there.
Of
we're
34.
We're
30
yeah,
minutes
we're 34 minutes in.
You've decided at this point what you're going to do with your life, and that's up to you. They're fighting, and she's trying to be like, I'm just tired. Stop questioning me. That's why I'm forgetting things. That's why I don't want to have sex or whatever that point in the movie was. I don't remember exactly chronologically.
She's taken Advil. She's taken Tylenol.
Yeah, she's practicing.
She has a headache.
Yeah. But he, she says, I'm just tired from the wedding and everything. And he says, you wanted to get married. And I think that's where people are kind of getting the read of, like, she's pushing against these pressures of marriage and society and heteronormativity, blah, blah, blah. But she says, that's all I want. And if you link that to when she says, you're ruining this, you're ruining our time together, to me, the tragedy of this movie is that she has known basically from moment one, the first moment, what happened to her. She explains later, I know what they know and they know what I know. She knows right away what happened and she knows time is limited. And she just married this person she wanted to marry. That's all she wanted, was to get married to him. And now she knows,
okay,
instead of getting to spend the rest of their lives together and that being 40, 50, 60 years, it's going to be just a few days. And she's trying so hard to, like, hold on to those few days and enjoy them and be like, let's go swimming. Let's go on the boat. Let's spend time together. But I don't want to tell you what's
let's
wrong.
Let's not have sex, though.
We won't be able to have. She can't. She can't without giving up the goat. Like,
the snake will eat his dick.
She doesn't want to do anything to give it away, because the second that she admits to any degree that something really is wrong, they're not going to be able to have their honeymoon together. That will be over. That will be gone. And she just wants to, this is all she's ever going to get. And she knows it. And she's trying to be like, I just want to have this. But if I tell him anything, he's not going to be able to accept it in time for us to do, for us to enjoy this very limited time we have left.
No, that is really, really tragic. I hadn't thought about it that way. I was focusing more on the literal thing that she said, because I guess that was just another, like, I don't know, shadow curtain thrown over what's actually happening.
There's a lot going on, again, when you are not, when you're on a first watch.
Well, no, I mean, I just mean, like, she was like, he was like, oh, I thought you wanted to get married. And I was like, okay, the fact that she's having a bad time right now doesn't mean, like, the fact that she's tired from the wedding doesn't mean she didn't want it to happen. So I was like,
weddings,
I felt like
exhausting.
That was a big escalation from him in the fight, in the context of just that fight. So I didn't think about it extrapolating beyond that. But yeah, I mean, let's talk about the abduction and all of that. I mean, I think that that whole setup for her disappearance was so spooky, because he's trying to do this nice thing to her, get the fish caught for
early,
her,
for to
wake up early,
catch their dinner.
Yeah, that's super, super sweet. And he's literally gone for like 15 minutes and she's already gone. And
like, not even. It's like he bumbled towards the door and only just barely got outside with his tackle box and fishing rod before he looked at his phone and was like, oh, my alarm didn't go off in the morning when it was time for me to go fishing. It went off. Oh, the power must have gone out. It's only 3:45 a.m. Let me go back inside. She's gone.
She's already gone.
Nowhere to be found.
And I mean, the finding her naked like that, the fucking ooey gooey ooze. I love the ooey gooey ooze. I love
the goo. I also, that's a reference to possession.
That's
very
a goo, yeah.
Possession.
Yeah. It wasn't pussy this time, which I appreciated. Mm. We can only have so much pus in a couple of weeks, you know? So it was
we
just like a standard goo. And I liked that. Clean. this was an independent film, so we couldn't go full pus. but I mean, I just think the way that she deteriorates is really brilliantly done, and it's so unsettling. Like, imagine being Paul and like all this, you know, something weird happened, you know that your wife doesn't want to talk about it because she's trying to make sure that we all have a nice time or whatever, but then like she forgot to grind the beans
for coffee,
the coffee, like, and she's so sure she did it right. Like, oh my god,
she's arguing with him about the French toast. She's like, no, I battered it, and it's like, well, girl, I'm looking at it right now, and
no,
it's not battered.
Could you, yeah, Monica, I mean, could you imagine Adam's reaction if you were like, yeah, I ground the beans?
No, I didn't.
Adam would divorce you immediately.
He's a big coffee guy, so he would be really freaked out. But he knows that I fuck that shit up all the time because there's like two different settings on our grinder and you have to like dial it in literally with this fancy dial set to a specific number and the number changes depending on the bag that we get. So every time I'm trying to make espresso, I have it on the coffee setting. And every time I'm trying to make coffee, I have it on the espresso setting. So that part wouldn't alarm him as
so
much.
So maybe Adam would be like, actually, this is just a regular day for Monica.
No, that wouldn't. But no, it's funny that you said that because I was watching this movie and I was like, oh my God, if this exact thing happened to us, Adam would not know based on the weird shit that she says. Because how often do I try to say a word and say, I will go take a sleep? Like, I would do that. Like, I'm trying to say the word. What's the one other word that she messes up? Not besides not knowing the word nap. There's something else that she says. Oh, she couldn't think of suitcase. And she was like, the box for the clothes. I would literally say exactly that. I would, like, I forget the words for things all the time, and I just described them in a very cumbersome way. I was like, he would never know. He wouldn't know until it was too late, until we were all dead.
But my thing is like, when I do that, I'll be like, you know that thing that you put the thing in, like, in a,
exactly.
Remember earlier when I was trying to remember the name of what keeps you alive? Yeah. Right?
I'd be like, oopsies.
But yeah, I mean, okay. In that scene when he's first looking for her, there's another little visual metaphor foreshadowing where it's like she's gone. He notices the door is open and then he gets really focused on a moth drawn to the light.
Yeah. What was that about?
That's how like she's pulled outside to the light, the alien searchlight, like, or whatever it is. She follows the little path. The lit path down into the woods, and then he finds her naked. But yeah, I mean, it's the first time you're watching this movie. I, like you, Monica, saw the light searching, and I was like, aliens. And I think had pretty recently watched No One Will Save You, and so I was like, yeah, aliens.
This reminded me of No One Will Save You, and I really want to do that on the pod.
Yeah. But I mean, from his perspective, it's very easy to be like, okay, did she get bit by a snake or something and she's being poisoned and it's having like neurodegenerative effects? Did she hit her head or something and she's got a brain bleed and she has an injury that needs to be seen by a doctor? Did she experience trauma of some kind, maybe from this guy Will, and she's like dissociating and her trauma is affecting her ability to process her memories in like a logical way? Like, those are all very real possible explanations for what could be happening to her before you jump to she's being replaced by a doppelganger or whatever you're thinking. You know what I mean? Before you go to the supernatural sci-fi explanations, there's 1,000 real world explanations for why your wife, who you found wandering the woods at night naked, might be behaving really strangely. And like, he's trying to figure out what's going on and she just keeps being like, it's fine, I'm fine, calm down, come back here, just chill out, like, nothing's wrong, it's no big deal, I'm just cold. Like, because she knows, like I said, she knows that something is wrong and she knows exactly what's wrong, and she's just trying to shove it all down so that they can have that time. And he is so like, I don't want our honeymoon to be ruined. So if it was just a weird thing, yeah, I don't want to be the one that ruins our one and only honeymoon, but also, like, something is not right.
Something is very, very wrong. But as a viewer, for me, as soon as I saw the whole Will part with Annie, I was like, oh, well, this has happened before, and that's definitely what's happening there. But now I'm thinking about it, I can also see that being a read where, like, oh, Will is abusing Annie or whatever, and now he's going
he's
to do that
man.
To
Look
be.
Look how he was with his wife, and...
Mm-hmm. But I think that, like, he seems... I don't know. he didn't seem so sinister to me that occurred. I don't know. I was just like, I knew it was going to be aliens. I didn't read anything. I promise you. I was just like, no, it's aliens. I mean,
Doctors always say, like, always assume it's like a donkey and not a zebra or something like that. When you're like trying to diagnose things, like always go for like the most common stuff instead of just leaping. Yeah. But I'm sorry, I'm just like, it's aliens. It's so obvious. Right.
Well, even when you're like, it's aliens, it's like, well, what kind of aliens are we dealing with? Like, did they abduct her and replace her with somebody else to be a little spy? Like, you don't know yet if it's like kind of a Stepford Wives deal or kind of an Invasion of the Body Snatchers deal or like what exactly is happening. You just know something aliens.
Well, that was my discussion question that I wanted to bring up. And I don't know if we're jumping too far around, but I feel like we're just discussing everything that happens right now. Later on in the film, as like a last resort kind of thing, Paul goes to Will and Annie's place to try to like get more answers, get help, that sort of a thing. And he finds Annie and sees that Annie has similar things going on. She's got the bumps on her legs, the blood or whatever on her inner thigh, and she is getting in a boat and there's something in the boat, and then he finds Will's hat with the blood on it. And so what I didn't think about at the time, I mean, it's very clear that she's obviously done something to Will. That's what it seems like. She's killed Will. That's what you think.
She's just hiding him under the water.
No, I know, but why did they do the exact same thing? That's the thing that's so weird. She's also hiding him under the water. So the question was, like, what do you think is actually going on with Annie? Like, do you think that, or not Annie, with B, like, do you think that they, that it is this love story? I like your take on it, where it's this love story and she's holding on to her humanity as hard as she possibly can and doing the best that she can to stay in her body for as long as she can. Or is it this like alien hive mind thing where like it's telling her that she's saving him, but she's actually killing him and that's what the aliens want?
Here's my take.
Something to
consider. I think that she is doing everything that she can to save him. I don't think it's weird that Annie and B had the same idea because, again, they're part of the same hive mind. So I think it makes a lot of sense that they would jump to the same conclusion of, here's what I know about the monsters. Here's how they could maybe possibly be beat. I don't necessarily know why they think the monsters can't go under the water or see under the water, but if we think about the light and the way that it searches and what they know about it, I think they're coming to the conclusion it's gonna find anything that the light can find, but they're not shining the light underwater, so I can hide them under there. She has a line earlier in the movie where she says earthworms can survive for 5 minutes underwater. And I also, honestly, I don't know that I knew what to think about it so much the first time, but it's so much like the end of Possession that I think it's, again, sort of that return to the womb safety sort of thing of, like, I'm hiding under the covers, I'm pulling the covers up over my head. It's not a good solution. Maybe on some level, they both are able to understand that putting them under the water and hiding them under the water and tying their wrists and ankles so that they cannot swim and attaching them to an anchor will kill them, but it will also stop them from joining the hive. So if they're gonna, she says about herself, like, my body will still be here, but they're taking B. Like, who I am is going away, even if my body stays. I think what they're doing for their husbands, whether or not they know that they're killing them, and I I kind of am inclined to think that they can't appreciate that in their state.
Because they've like lost their connection with like humanity in that way. Right. They're like, I'm keeping your body safe. But they're not thinking about like the body's needs. And like, that makes sense to me.
I'm stopping who you are from being removed from your body and your body staying. Like, I'm putting you out of reach of the aliens. Even if you die, again, I don't think they have an appreciation for that. But they're saying the aliens won't be able to get to you where I'm putting you. Mm-hmm. And you dying or not dying, that doesn't matter. At least you won't be joining the hive against your will.
Such a horrific concept, man, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're having their bodies co-opted, and we kind of get that with the womb conversation at the beginning, and I totally understand the focus on motherhood and womanhood and that read on the film, and I think that's valid.
I mean, she is literally impregnated with whatever the fuck that weird tapeworm snake. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I also just, even if you're not reading it in terms of an impregnation or however you're supposed to say that word, you know what I'm trying to say. Even if it's just like Mallard P. What's his name? Mallard P. Quack, I'm not a real duck, stay away. And how you can like hide things in the wood and fake. Like, even if something's just being stored in the cavity of her body and you're not reading it as a literal impregnation, it's like the danger and vulnerability and fear of having a womb that can be co-opted against your will by an outside party, whether that is a man who you've just married who is trying to impregnate you when that's not something that you want, or an alien species that's coming to take over the planet and they're starting right here, or maybe they've started elsewhere, but it's happening right here, right now on your little lake.
It would absolutely start in Canada.
Everyone's too nice.
Are they in Canada?
Yeah, they're in Canada.
There's like 40,000 Canadian flags.
That is what keeps you alive. Wow.
There are so many Canadian flags in there.
Yeah, right at the beginning, you just see literally like a bunch of Canadian flags and they're driving. And also, they let you know that they actually live in New York, though. Don't forget it.
The whole beginning is them.
That's probably
crossing
why I was
the border.
Like, they're in Canada.
Yeah, no, they're from New York. To make that very clear. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. I think it's a more effective film if, emotionally speaking, if she is in there and she's trying and fighting to stay in there. But I also think it's super horrific if she's gone immediately and that's an alien just pretending. Because that, I think there is significant evidence for that too, just because of the way that she's like trying to do human shit. I mean, I think maybe the one detractor from that is the first morning afterwards. Like, why would she even know about French toast at all at that point? Unless like they, you know, the aliens, they're like,
Mom's got access to her memories.
Yeah, exactly. But like, even when she's like, finally fessing up to what happened, like I thought that part was like a little bit strange that she like had like more connection to like her memory suddenly or something like that, but it didn't still seem like as emotional as I would have expected it to be if she came back to herself a little bit more. So like I don't know, I like both reads on it. It can go either way for me, but I wonder what they were originally intending. I'm down for either. I'm down to clown with either idea.
I can see it as like a war within her of like the aliens trying to take control and her trying to hang on and them doing whatever. But I personally really prefer the read where she's going through a transformation that we see is to some degree complete, question mark, by the end. I guess I don't know what her final form would look like, her final Pokemon evolution, but we see that she looks different. Yeah. So we see that she is physically changed by the end of the movie. And I think it's like the descent into that from the beginning. To me, I think it is so powerful of a read to say that it's her trying to hang on to her humanity, because it makes that fight when he's tied her up to the bed so compelling. She's so frustrated, she's so over it, she's so like, but they have this conversation where she's saying, I'm your wife, and he's saying, how do I know that? And she's like, how do you not know that? And I think that's what's so frustrating for her. He's so on the outside, he doesn't have the information to appreciate what's going on. He just knows, you don't know who I am, you don't know who you are, you don't know where you live, you don't remember how we got engaged, you don't remember what food we ate on our first date. Like, all this information that you don't have, that you're repeating to yourself so that you can regurgitate it later. I think you could be someone, something else other than my wife. I don't know if you're here to hurt me the way it seems like happened with Will and Annie. To I so prefer the read that it's like she's trying to do everything that she can, and when she has that confession where she's saying like, I could still feel them with me, I can still feel them with me, I wanted to tell you, but I'm not allowed. Like, she's doing everything she can
I
to
forgot that they have that
fight and to
control
say,
over her too. The
yeah. But
oh, that's
also,
so
him
horrific.
being so icky when she is tied up and he's like, well, you have her knees.
I know
And
that
you
scene is so
feel
yuck.
like your thighs are the
Yeah.
same. And then he like puts his head on her thighs and like licks them.
You
And he's like,
taste the same. Yeah.
I thought he was gonna do
That
like
part
something
was
wildly
weird.
inappropriate
And
there.
he
And it
does
kind of
stick his
ends
hand
up
in her
talk
going
about
there.
Can
Yeah,
we?
I
Yeah.
mean,
He literally shoves his entire hand into her pussy, by the way. When he takes his hand out, the whole thing is covered in that
there was,
weird
I was like,
intergalactic
are we
ooze.
fisting? Like, what are we doing?
How does this feel for you? Like, she
But
just stabbed herself with something in there, so be
also
careful.
he does that earlier on the boat, and she's just like bleeding a lot.
Yeah,
Like,
I mean,
stop
I
touching
think
her.
that's part of the movie that is so hinky, where the first time you're watching it, you're really like, okay, again, what kind of film am I watching? Because before I get to the end, and even maybe once you get to the end, it's so easy to be like, maybe we saw them and they're like happy marriage exposition in the beginning of this movie, but that's literally on their wedding day and we've known them for 5 minutes. That might not be representative of the actual relationship they have. We don't know what kind of guy he really is. He might be the kind of husband that coerces his partner into having sex, and she needs to have pre-planned scripts for how to say no when she wants to say no, and she has to practice and rehearse in the mirror ahead of time. But
That's fucking
given the
horrific.
way,
That
I know.
never occurred to me at all. That's horrible. I hate that.
Yeah. But
I
given the
feel
way
you
that
though.
they fuck in the shower and he fingers her, and again, literally in our group chat the other day, remembered that there was bring back fingering discourse. I think that's the way he
Yes.
initiates a lot of the time, and I think that they're horny and they fuck a lot. Even if
Yeah.
maybe they were just de-virginized in the beginning of this movie, they're hot for each other's bods. And
They've
I
slept with
think
each other
it's,
hundreds of times. That's what he
yeah,
says.
I
Four
think
times.
they slept
Five
with each
times.
other hundreds of times in the first 2 days of this movie, and then unfortunately, there's an alien invasion.
This
But
is what
they're.
happens when you have sex. You'll
That's
get pregnant
why
with
everyone should be
aliens
celibate
and
forever.
die.
Did you know
Yeah,
that this is
that's
a
what I.
pro-chastity podcast? Jesus Christ.
I have always
Where are our
maintained that
morality gone?
position.
We're
But no, I
good
mean, I
girls,
think.
Monica. Okay.
Yeah,
Can't relate.
Monica.
We're saving it for marriage.
But no, I
Just like
think
they did.
a lot of it is like what would otherwise be normal foreplay, I guess, if you will, normal like getting the ball rolling. And then some of it, he's like specifically trying to incite a reaction to see how she'll engage. He's like kind of like testing her a little bit, to be like, why is she practicing in the mirror? And now she's giving me that script. And he's like, do you not want to have sex? He's like, what is this? What's going on here? And then he saw her hurting herself. So at the end, I think it's easy. It's so weird. The way he behaves there is so weird. And it is yuck.
That part but was also, weird.
From his perspective, he is like a man who has lost his wife and is like scrambling to understand and is like having a trauma response and being like, you seem like her, but you're not her. So I don't know what's going on, and you're hurting yourself and you're bleeding and something is wrong. And I'm just trying to understand.
Honestly, like, even though he does some like pretty outlandish stuff, I don't think it's like, I think he's a very,
loving, tender, attentive husband in many ways. Well,
no, he's like his character is not an empathetic character. See, I'm doing that thing where I can't think of the word I'm trying to say. So,
oh my god, she's been replaced.
Exactly. Oh no. No, but like, I like, you know, I'm not going to be a man named Paul in this situation, but I would do a lot of the things that he's doing. Yes, he is trying to finger her on the boat, but he is trying to get to that pussy because he knows there's something fucking going on down there, and she won't tell her what it is. So like, he's doing that.
Oh, if you're going to pretend everything is normal, I'm going to try to initiate sex like everything is normal.
Exactly. Because, like, obviously there's some, like, weird, look like fucking, like, again, tentacle marks on her inner thigh. So that's fun or, and like, exciting.
Yeah. Like, she's trying to say it's bug bites, it's mosquito bites. And he's like, you look like you got bit by something. Maybe, like, is it snake bites? Like, what? Was it fangs or something? And she's like, yeah, mosquitoes. The way she says that line also so wacky.
I think he keeps it together longer than I would, because once I saw that bruising that was down there next to the bites, I'd be like, I don't fucking care. I would have tied her up earlier and put her in the car and drove her to the fucking hospital, because like, that should not be bruising like
Something's going on.
Something's fucked the fuck up. That is not good. And like, I don't know. The scene in the bed was absolutely, when she's tied up, was absolutely just like gut-wrenchingly horrific, and I was screaming at the top of my lungs the entire time because it was just so uncomfortable to watch. But I do think it was brilliantly done. Like, I love body horror and it just like, oh,
it looks so yuck and like a well-done accomplished way in the movie also,
and it looks like fucking umbilical cord a little bit too, so bringing back the like pregnancy womb shit.
It did look like a big umbilical cord, but also another, is it just a worm? Would you love me if I was pregnant with a worm?
The age old adage back again. Would you love me if I was a worm?
But this is, would you still love me if I was pregnant with a worm? Like, I guess I accidentally, you know, technically cheated on you with an alien against my will.
And now I've got a little worm baby.
And now I'm pregnant with a worm. Are you going to up and take care of this worm baby and me?
Well, what do we think is happening? Do you think that they're being impregnated in a way where, like, they're going to spit out a fully formed alien after a little bit? Or do you think that that is, like, the, like, it's like the syringe, that worm is the syringe that injects alien consciousness into the body or whatever, and then they take over the body? Because it's kind of hard to parse, because I could see it either way, but then she still feels the alien like inside her even after the worm is pulled out of her, and then she still continues on her transformation after that. But for me, visually looking at her as she's in that those late stages of the transformation after the boat scene with Paul and his night sleeping with the fishes time happens, she looks like she's deteriorating to me. Like, she looks like her skin is like decomposing. Like, her, she looks like a zombie. I thought the makeup was really cool. She and Annie both look like zombies, not like they're, but maybe their skin's gonna fall off and they're gonna be green men. Who knows?
They're gonna like slough away. Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is we see Annie presumably in the moments before or after she is similarly going to tie Will up and throw him in the water. Either she's just done it or she's about to, maybe. And she looks bad, but she does not look inhuman the way that Bea does by the end of the movie. So I think that's an interesting argument about, like, what are we seeing? What's happening? We see two different people, but we're not close enough to Annie to know what's going on in her story. And also the fact that her name is Annie also feels like a reference to possession and Anna, potentially. Oh. But yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point, is like, has she been disconnected in a way from what's keeping her alive, question mark, at that point? And so even though she's still connected to the hive in a psychic way, potentially, is her body decomposing and falling apart because the worm has been removed? And she's clearly in the bathroom trying to remove it herself or take it out, or she's trying to claw it the fuck out of there. And then she has that
good
moment.
Point for your argument, Chelsea, that it is her in there, because why would she be doing that if it's like an imposter the whole time? Anyway, keep on going.
But yeah, I mean, then on the bed, when he, again, she can't hide it anymore because he stuck his hand in her pussy and he is like, there's gross goo in here. And it is, but it's very scary.
How it is.
Spider webby looking stuff. She begs him to take it out at that point. So, I mean, I think there is certainly an argument to be made that the reason she's deteriorating the way that she is because it's been removed. Because when we saw Annie at presumably the same point that B is by the end of the movie, she doesn't look good, but she doesn't look as bad.
Oh, I thought she did look as bad. I mean, there's
a
lot
like
of
scaly to me, at least.
Oh, I thought she did.
She
but
looks
I don't
like
know.
Tired,
I only watched it.
Exhausted.
It I
like
think
she had a
another
bunch of dry
thing
skin too.
She didn't have like weird little green eyes, which again, possession.
Her pupils were so dilated at the end too.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. There's so many different ways that you can read this, which is fun to hypothesize. But like another thing, this is early days of this invasion, obviously, because like there's, I don't know, there's not
starting
a
in
lot
the remote
of evidence
areas,
that this has
again,
been happening.
No one will save you, maybe.
Exactly. I mean, it's that. And, you know, maybe what I said earlier was totally wrong when I was like, this isn't like Science and they can handle being in water. Maybe that's the whole thing, is that they can't. And maybe that's what Bea knows in her mind, because she's part of the hive mind. And that's why she sinks Paul down underneath the sea. And maybe that's something there, too. And maybe the whole idea is that they're trying not to fail in a way that the Signs aliens failed, where they like are injecting themselves into human bodies that can survive, what are built to survive on planet Earth. And so like that's the way that they're taking over. It could be like that. And if that's the case, then I think maybe she is dying. I don't know. It could really go, go either way. That's the fun thing with aliens. There's so many different ways for them to invade.
If it is like a takeover thing, that does feel very no one will save you, or an invasion of the body snatchers kind of deal. You know what I mean? Like there's very much a read for that, other than they're trying to eliminate the human race so that they can come inherit the Earth. Like there's a lot of space for different types of aliens and different interpretations. But I think I like that she's deteriorating because she's dying because it was removed, and she's spending her last few minutes watching her wedding video. And I think that's also like she's still in there because She just wants to. She, Paul is not there for her to continue Who having her honeymoon with her anymore. Yeah. He just wants to. She can't remember, so she's just like beating. She wants to just watch her fucking wedding video, man.
Also, too, like it, the last thing where it talks about her being alone.
Yeah, like, where it circles back to that quote.
Like, I was alone, and now I
before
have
I was alone, but now I'm not. That's what she says.
And now she's alone again and does not have Paul.
But also she's not alone because she's part of the fucking hive. So
yeah, alone. She goes down to those unknowable dudes, those silhouette guys. And that's it.
They're dark bodies. Yeah.
They're dark entities. I really liked this movie, Chelsea. It was cool. I'm interested to watch it again. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I allotted myself more time.
I know. I thought about warning you to be like, you might want time to think about this one. But I never know if I should say something or not.
Here's my thing. I was planning on watching it last night.
You could say that.
I got too high. And I was like, I think this is bad. And I stand by that. I think I would have had a bad time if I watched it.
You would have had a really bad time.
You had a really bad time.
I wish that I watched it earlier today so I could have watched it twice.
Yeah, I got
I would have had a bad time watching it last night.
30 minutes into a second watch, and then I had to stop. But last night I had a friend over and I pitched Honeymoon, but he was like, I don't know what the fuck that is. We're going to watch something else. And I was like, okay.
But yeah, I mean, okay, I'll go through my notes a little bit with you to tell you what I noticed on a second watch. My first note, the ducks are metaphors. And I'll read you her little note because I did write that quote down. But he's like, what's with the ducks? And she says, they're fake and hollow, empty inside. I used to hide things in them when I was little. And then she looks inside one and finds that little note. And it says, dear ducks, my name is Mallard P. Quack. I am not a real duck. Stay away. Translation, quack, quack, honk, quack, 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 honk. So again, it's like, this is the danger. She's looking out for him on a couple of different times. There's that time where he sees the light when he's awake and he goes outside to investigate and he shoots the gun and that wakes her up and she comes out on the porch and she's looking down on him and she's so mad that he went outside. She's like, it's dangerous out there. Like, you can't go out there. Like, you have to stop. She's yelling at him like, she says at one point, it wasn't Will, okay, you have to stop, kind of admitting that like something did happen and he doesn't quite fully catch it because he's still like in his own ideas about what happens. But yeah, I mean, her whole thing is like trying to stop him from doing anything other than just enjoying their honeymoon together. And she's trying so hard to be like, oh, I want a kiss, but I have to divert. I want you to know that I want you, but I have to divert from anything that's gonna reveal something terrible has happened, so we can't have sex, but I don't want you to think that I don't want to be here with you. We see her writing in, the first time that she goes to have her sleep instead of her nap, we do see her like curled around the diary. So she has that early on. And then we see her writing in it at one point being like, my name is B. My husband's name is Paul. And you don't appreciate like why she's doing that then. And it seems possibly sinister, like she's like trying to write a note for help or something. Maybe you don't know why she's doing it until Paul is over at Annie's house and sees the writing everywhere that says, my name is Annie, my name is Annie, my name is Annie, my husband is Will, my husband is Will, my like, that's when you start to really catch on to it's something that they're trying to like hold on to. He says, what are you gonna do to me at one point when he starts to get scared and starts to think that Annie's done something to Will. And she says, I just want to protect you. The car keys are gone. She hides the car keys again. That's like creep. It's like get out. So again, you do kind of know something funky has happened. That the car keys being missing, I don't necessarily have a good answer for, other than maybe she's trying to contain what's happening to this area. And like, she doesn't want to go back to New York. That's a major fucking metropolitan area with whatever is inside of her, you know? she's trying to be like, let's stay here in the wilderness where we've seen two other people and that's fucking it. But I don't know, man. Like, he says, they have that whole exchange where he's like, I love you, honeybee. I love you, honeybee. What do you say? And she was like, we don't remember. Like, it's just, I think it's just, it's, she's remembers bits and pieces. She's inventing. She has little bits of it here and there. She's like, oh, I do remember now. She's like, so he's so hurt by the fact that she doesn't remember, and to him that means you couldn't possibly be my wife. And she's trying to say, I am your wife and I love you and I want to be here with you and this meant a lot to me and I loved our proposal and we had Indian food and you diarrheaed in my apartment. But she just, like, she's trying to say to him, like, I'm still in here. But she's in there less and less as time goes on. I don't know. It's so sad.
It's so also sad. This would have been great for Tragic Romance Month.
Could be a read for dementia as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
and like moments of lucidity and
yeah.
Sometimes you're there and sometimes you're not.
Here's the thing. This movie is tragic, actually.
Yeah.
It's very sad, actually. Here's the thing. The longer you sit with it, the more sad it gets.
Another thing with possession. Like, this movie is, right? Like, you don't know how you feel about it, actually. Because, like, there's a lot of big feelings. And it builds up great tension and it makes you uncomfortable and it, like, I don't know, I need to watch it again. I had a good time.
Yeah. I want to say something about Possession.
Oh, go.
Sorry, I know we already did Possession, but I'm still here and this is our podcast.
I've been still sitting at that table. Waiting for fine. You to come around on Possession.
Chelsea
giving this a 3 is wrong.
I still don't know that I necessarily get a lot of it, but I'm kind of changing my mind on some of it, which is to say, like, this movie, Honeymoon, I think is a love story. And it kind of makes me feel like a lot of Possession is also a love story in some ways. Like, I know we talked about the crushing societal expectations of womanhood and motherhood and being a wife, but also, like, I don't know. I did that post on social that's about how he, like, holds his son and his wife the same way. And some people messaged us and responded to us talking about, like, the infantilization of Anna. And someone else commented on that post and said that Anna holds him the same way at the end. And yeah. I think it's also, like, an expression of, like, caring for someone and taking care of them when they're completely defenseless and unable to care for themselves. And, like, that movie is so complicated and kind of doing a different thing, but also kind of doing a similar thing of, like, I am losing my, I'm still here, but who I am is going away and is being lost and it's not in here anymore. And that's a slower process in that movie where maybe it's been going on for a year. Maybe it started happening even before the video at the dance studio in Possession. And that's why she acts the way that she does. Or maybe that's just who she is. I don't know. But, like, there's something to these are some of my thoughts about love. Even when relationships end and, like, you're not in love with someone anymore, the love still exists. You know what I mean?
Totally. Like, where does it go?
Yeah. Right. I mean, sometimes it is detached from the person that's in front of you. Sometimes the love that you have for a person, that person doesn't exist anymore, even if they're still out in the world, because they're changed. It's such an interesting reflection on love and loss.
No, that I can totally see that specific instance of that feeling where that person you love doesn't exist, because we naturally ebb and flow and change as humans, and it is completely like it's a miracle when you change like it coinciding perfectly with your partner, with a friend, with anyone. That's something my therapist always says. It's a miracle if you stay friends with your friends all through your 20s because you change so much during that time. Same things with a partner. You change so much and you can love a version of a person and they can become someone that someone is else. Not for you.
Right. And you can change. They can change.
You can change.
You can change differently. Like it is like really beautiful when two people can change, but you know, their changes.
That love
like,
always lives inside of you.
Right. But like their changes complement each other still. Know what I mean? Like yeah. You're changing.
It's lucky.
You're going the same way.
It's lucky, but yeah, no, it's so true. It's like, it's with love and relationships ending, with grief and people dying, where does the love go? It's like,
it's
it doesn't
there. It's
disappear.
Always still there.
It's always still there. You just
unless
figure
it's
out different
replaced
ways.
With hate.
But which, even but
and love and hate are very similar.
Another, like,
emotion
of love.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not that similar, the love yeah. is gone. It's that, like, the hate is there because the love is still there. And I'm mad.
My therapist always totally. Says that hate is a secondary emotion. So, like, you only hate something because, like, you're feeling something, like,
you
different.
Wouldn't feel so strongly if there wasn't a sense of love that had
no,
been
totally.
Betrayed, maybe. Or that you didn't feel like it was right to hold even though it's like a reaction to it still existing within you that you don't want, but it's still there.
Yeah. No, and that's an even more like just upsetting way to look at this. It's like B knowing that she's changed and she'll never change back. She's forever changed by what has happened. She's literally going through a transformation and she knows she's got hours left of her humanity and she's grabbing on to this honeymoon supposed to be the best time of your life with your partner and it's the end of her love. She knows it will be the end of her love, completely out of her hands. There's nothing she can do. And then it's just so sad because she's going through this whole internal struggle that she physically is barred from explaining to her partner. And poor Paul has no fucking clue what's going on. And he's just like, something's wrong. Why is she keeping secrets from me? It's completely tragic. Romeo and Juliet.
He's like, we talk to each other. We're people who talk to each other.
Yeah. Why would she change completely all of a sudden? Oh, God. Well,
because here's the thing. Also, sometimes things happen to you and you are just forever changed and you can't go back to who you were before the thing that you did not want to happen to you happens to you.
And it can happen in an instant. You know what I mean? Like this happened in one night. That seems like it's crazy and unrealistic, but that can happen. You can change in an instant and then two people in a partnership are left trying to pick up the pieces and sometimes you can't. Oh God, it's so deep, Chelsea.
Chelsea, why would you do this to us?
I know, we're all crying.
I didn't mean to. I mean, I did a little bit, but I didn't know that what possession was going to be 2 weeks before. I couldn't have planned for that at that time. I just went Mark Duplass
what
and
a,
Creep.
What a
the one I love.
Double
honeymoon.
Feature. Possession.
Because I mean, the one I love, that's got some interesting, similar stuff in it too, but it's different.
Really good. Yeah, no, I mean, now I feel less bad about making you experience the trauma of possession because
it's mutual. Yeah.
Right after
we
it.
Did a, we did a trade.
Fuck each other.
I'm so
up.
Glad. They're like, honestly, okay. Tentacle stuff. Doppelgang question mark.
Alien being, question mark.
Being safe, hiding under the water at the end. Right. There's a lot there. I feel so informed by having watched Possession before we did this movie.
It pops up. It's just so weird. Like I really like can't explain to you how many parallels I had with that book Night Bitch and Possession too. And I read that literally right after we did that episode. I'm just like, whoa. Like, I feel like my brain is expanded because I, like, really engaged with that movie. So if you still haven't watched Possession, you really, really should. And you really should watch Honeymoon because it's short. It's not sweet. It's actually,
yeah,
I was going to say
it's
short.
It's not even
sweet.
90 minutes. It's like
it's
85.
It's not even 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's like 80-something minutes.
And
that's
honestly,
including
like,
credits.
It's under fucking rated. It really is underrated. It doesn't get as much love as it should. I saw a lot of haters online, honestly, and I was like, shut up. Like, it's about aliens. Get that question out of your mind.
Hello.
And then,
you can't go wrong
but there's
with
so much more. Aliens can mean so many things, and that's why I love them so much. But I have to say something stupid because we've talked about so many sad, profound things. So here's something done as a dumb as a palate cleanser. There was a part of me during this movie where I was like, okay, the frogs and the foreshadowing with the frogs. They talked about frogs in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And the frogs being killed. And then there was the frog that he got and he pretended he was going to eat it and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, what if they revealed the alien and it's like a frog-based alien? And this is all some
They're
sort of like
revenge.
Like it's like a, like there's like
they
radioactive
screamed
swamp
when she was
monster.
Using them as bait because they were like, how dare you? And we'll be back for you.
Like radioactive sludge got into this same lake and turned those frogs kids into
their vampire frogs and
aliens.
That's the bite marks
and they impregnated her with a tadpole. Like,
you know how
I
frogs
like,
go
this
like,
could go
and their tongues shoot out really long. That's what that worm was.
That's what that worm was. Yeah. Anyway, so that was I was like, it's not gonna be that, but wouldn't that be hilarious?
Yeah, my thought seeing
frog
the frog
horror movies.
Was that I made an episode art option for Jurassic Park with the frog because they're filling in with frog DNA. And now we could potentially reuse it for this movie. But we'll see. But we'll see.
We should. That would be cute.
Wow.
I loved the frog one.
Oh my God.
I know. I thought it was really nice.
Line, actually.
I know.
The ripple honestly could have worked for this one too. I mean, they're interchangeable, I suppose.
It's really
That's
crazy.
Why our through lines, Spooky Tuesday's timing is always right. I had a couple maybe through lines. No, maybe that was just the one. There's another clear reference I wrote down at some point of the goo on the nightgown. That was a clear reference to possession.
Oh my God. Goo. That whole part when he was like, well, where's your fucking nightgown? And she's like, it's in
the
box.
Tell me to wear your nightgown, your sexy nightgown. I love your sexy nightgown.
It's in the clothes box.
I put it away. It's dirty in the clothes box. I couldn't possibly pull it back out.
Come on. Don't be ridiculous.
It's just an extra large t-shirt and my old granny panties. Oh, my sexy nightgown. I can't put that one back on.
It's my spirit Halloween shirt. That's my sexy nightgown. It's my oversized spirit Halloween shirt.
I have two drawers of oversized t-shirts that I wear that are literally just sleep shirts. That's what my drawers are dedicated to. I'm like, oh yes, what do you mean you don't have two dresser drawers for sleep shirts? Anyways, I give this movie a 3.5.
Oh, you're jumping right away to the
segments. Okay,
joking.
Well... Well, let's go to segments because it's time. How could this movie be gayer? If it was gay, it would be What Keeps You Alive. They
well,
even have
a
rowboat.
Yeah,
no, it's
that's
totally
a different,
different
movie too.
Yeah, this isn't a rowboat. It has a motor, actually.
Annie and well, they're in a canoe at one point. Annie and Will should have been a gay couple. That would have been great. Even more for
well,
B to grapple with. B is like, oh my God,
did I marry a man when I'm really
never,
in love with women?
I never
well, but
told
here's my...
Paul that I'm bisexual.
Well, I think she is bisexual, but maybe that's also just because Rose Leslie played a lesbian in The Good Fight, and so I'm like, she's got queer energy. I don't know what her deal is in real life, but she's got queer energy.
Good.
But I think it is like not just that Annie and B got caught in the light or whatever. I think it is like explicitly a because they
women.
Were women. Yeah, so I don't know that you could have had it be a lesbian couple necessarily unless one of them was trans. And then that could have also been maybe why she doesn't recognize her at first, and then she's like, oh, okay, I know who you are, and I remember how I knew you back in the day.
Oh, that's a good I like that. Good push.
Yeah.
Good push. I like that.
You could also, I mean, I think there's a lot of room for gender fuckery in general. Rose Leslie's character could be a trans man, although I think that would be a different level of heaviness of like the body horror to reckon with in that movie. But, you know, there's space for all kinds of different things. For sure, though, I think that she is queer. Her character is queer.
I like that.
To be called Trixie or to be called B, that feels queer.
Gay all the way around.
Paul is actually a gay man because he's never, this is his first time having sex with women.
But he really likes it.
He's a bisexual man.
Yeah, this
and
is
he's
just
like,
his first
where
time
does, where only... does it say?
Yeah.
He's only been with dudes before.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still
that's when he doesn't know how to be normal, he puts his whole fist in.
Yeah. I really, you know, they do be fisting.
I really do not.
He's
get
like, this
virgin
is how
vibes.
It's done. I thought.
I literally, not at all, do I get virgin vibes from them. At
no,
all.
I to be clear,
oh my God,
like,
I
mean,
at
all.
I was like,
this is a fun
these
joke.
These are virgins.
Okay, okay. I wasn't sure if, like, I wasn't sure if we're just making a joke. Or if
Sydney,
it was,
I wasn't.
That's a thing.
I wasn't.
Sydney has vibes. I'm making a joke.
These are virgins.
Yep.
I think they fuck a lot. I think they probably would have fucked if he didn't have diarrhea.
You don't know to tie someone up if it's your first time, unless you watch a lot of porn your whole life, I guess.
Yes, you absolutely know how to do that.
Well, he's just had so much innate confidence. That's crazy.
That was like the fourth time that they had sex, please.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ. Again, it does the trajectory is not, it's not exponential growth when it comes to this shit. Okay, any other gay thoughts?
So many gay thoughts.
Matthew Lillard. There's only four characters in this movie. He's the silhouette.
Oh.
He's the dark bodies.
He's the frog.
The dark body. He's the frog.
He's the frog.
That's
He's
it.
The delivery man who brought the glazed donuts to their wedding. And we didn't see him,
that
but he was there.
See.
Okay, yeah. But actually, what if when Paul is pulling out the umbilical cord alien, when he pulls it out, all of a sudden, Matthew Lillard pops.
Just a tiny little Matthew Lillard face on the end. When it like twitches, head. That you see Matthew Lillard rearing
no.
his head up.
Oh my God, no. Well, I think it would be a hilarious cameo because he's only in it for 5 seconds if Will was Matthew Lillard. You're like, oh my God.
Oh my God, you bagged Matthew Lillard since- back in the day?
I haven't seen you since before Scooby-Doo. Okay, dumb bitch. That's a hard one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I think again, cast is so limited,
and they're also
they're all doing their best under the circumstances.
It's Paul for me because of his comments about Indian food at the beginning.
But they got Indian food at their wedding. They like it. They just had to get revenge on having Indian food that poisoned you by having Indian food that nourishes you and sets the stage for a healthy relationship.
He was giving, I'm too white and can't handle Indian food, actually.
But he still tried it, and that's big.
And
sometimes
also,
white people are the weakest link. Goodbye.
He said, "I've now built up my tolerance to the spice over the years of our dating, and now I'm prepared to eat it again, second time ever at our wedding."
Wow, big. He is a brave man.
I would say their wedding guests would say they're both the dumb bitches for having donuts instead of cake.
How could they do that? Especially, did y'all see that Anna Taylor-Joy and her husband anatomical correct little tiny heart cakes and they fed them to each
that's
other? And I'm
cute.
Like, honestly, stealing. I love that. Love that.
Yeah, I love it.
So,
yeah.
That's very you. That's very
like,
you.
I love that. I'm going to be like, let me eat your heart. You can have mine. We're married now.
That's so cute. The donuts don't bother me. I feel like the dumb bitch is the alien for ruining their beautiful honeymoon because
yeah,
I
what about
them.
Their honeymoon?
And I thought they were so cute.
Yeah,
I thought they
the
were cute even
the
though they were cheesy.
Sexually assaulting these women.
And I thought both of them were really good looking and so I just wanted them to just have their nice time. But I knew that was not in the cards because it's a movie and it's a horror movie. This is a horror
it's
movie
a horror
podcast.
Movie. Yeah.
Okay. Knives out of fives?
Knives out of fives. Okay. Sydney already gave us hers, but she'll have to repeat it because I didn't write it down because we weren't there yet. But yeah, I mean, the reactions to this movie are so not necessarily reflective of mine. On IMDb, this movie has a 5.7 out of 10, which is not the end of the world, but it's not even a 6.
That's not very good,
Yeah, on Rotten Tomatoes, it does have 76% from critics, which is fresh, but it has 44% from audiences, which is rotten. And, like, that is a huge, that's like a 30 percentage point disparity. Like, that's a huge difference.
Yeah. That's crazy. I don't know. I mean, Sydney, you want to go first because you already went, and then I'll go after you, and then we can end with Chelsea.
Again, a 3.5 for me. I think I need to watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
It to be like, because I think
provisional rating,
right? Like, I gave Possession a 4 because I'd watched it twice, you know what I mean? Like, and I'd like sat with it before, and I watched this pretty rushed. I mean, I was like finishing it as soon as, you know,
sometimes you got to do your homework the morning it's due. Okay,
sometimes you're just busy. But I had a really good time, and sitting here and like listen, because like I didn't know actually what I thought about it. I was like, I don't know. And so listening to like y'all talk about it more made me like it more, and also made me like Possession more.
Yeah. Oh, this movie for sure.
Chelsea didn't know she was coming in with an assist for me on Possession with this movie.
I had already seen this movie when we did Possession, but rewatching this movie really made me feel tender feelings of love.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like this movie, I think again a good double feature. I mean, it's a fucked up horrible double feature. It would be
it's a horrible double feature. But I definitely started making a list on my phone at one point of movies that would be good double features, and I'm gonna have to add Honeymoon and Possession to that list.
If you just want to have a bad time and want to feel shell shocked at the end and upset. Like, this would be the movie you'll have to watch after Possession to make you feel better.
Like,
that's terrible.
Well, but I think that would also be the proper order.
Yeah. No, it has to be that. You can't end with Possession and then go to bed and lie in bed with your eyes wide open, staring at the ceiling all night long, thinking about little Bob in the tub. Anyway, you really need to watch Possession to listen to this episode. I will go next. Again, Possession is all I can think about. A provisional for me, because I would love to see this one again. I'm going to give it 4. I had a really good time.
Okay.
I think that this is a really fun concept. I like that it was so ambiguous, but then also definitely aliens. Because it leads to really fun conversations about the motivations. It is strange that Annie and B are both doing the same thing with their husbands, the way that they kill them or unwittingly kill them. I thought that was really, really interesting, and that was a really interesting conversation. But at the end of the day, this is such a tragic love story. And like, I don't know, I just know a lot of people like in the process of getting married right now, and so like this feels even closer to like hitting closer to home. And it's just like to have that moment that's supposed to be like the crown on top of your achievement of getting married just to be stripped away from you in such a like visceral and disturbing way. Like, I won't stop thinking about that fucking birth scene, or I don't even know, extraction scene, for a long time. So yeah, I'm really glad we did this one. Great pick, Chuff.
Yay! Oh my god, I'm so glad. I was like, they could both hate this potentially. And I wasn't super worried about it, but I was like, well, I don't know, and we'll see. And I really want to talk about it in context of Possession. So I mean, like I said, I really liked this the first time I watched it. It was part of a Spooky in the Woods marathon. It feels very like it would make a good double feature with a lot of other movies, so that'll go on my spooky double features list that needs to be updated now with like a bunch of different installments. But I think it's a very impressive feature film debut for Leigh Janiak as a writer, as a director. I do find Rose Leslie's accent a little distracting, but I'm desensitized to it from The Good Fight, which she's also wonderful on. Did not know that guy didn't have an American accent, so good for him, he convinced me. I think everyone's giving really strong performances where on a first watch it can leave you so unsettled and unsure of what you're getting. And then when you have an idea of what you're getting and you rewatch it, you can read it in such a sympathetic way when earlier it was kind of scary and like it makes for a really interesting rewatch. So I mean, I don't know that I would give it a 5 knives necessarily, because to me that's like tops, you know what I mean? But I'm gonna give it like a 4.8, I think, because I think it's so impressive. I like it a lot. I like it so much more now that we've done Possession. I would love to have a conversation with Lee Janiak about this movie and about her influences and like really dig into it at some point. So yeah,
she seems so cool. Remember when we saw her? Yeah, at she's that like, screening?
Let's kill some kids. Yeah,
yeah. We should honestly consider doing Fear Street Part 2, not 3, but Part 2. I would do, because those are the only movies that she's ever done. Like, she's done a lot of TV, but it's this movie and Fear Street Trilogy, just those 4. So I can't wait to see what she does after that, because that's, like, tonally very, very different.
Lots of different things going on,
very
yeah.
Very different, yeah. Okay, so before we introduce what we are doing next week, this is time for a reminder. It's your last chance for romance if you want Spooky Tuesday merchandise in this run of merchandise. You will only see this merchandise the way that it is now, these 3 items, this one time, except for maybe the hats, honestly. but the other stuff, this is your last chance, and you only have until this Friday, the 12th of April at 11:59 p.m.
Pacific time.
And that's your last chance for romance. So, it's getting sunny out. Don't you want to wear a hat and keep the sun off of your face? But also, it's still raining sometimes, so don't you want to get cozy in a little crew neck? Ooh, cuddle up.
It's going to be hot soon after that. You're going to need a t-shirt to cool off.
Exactly.
I know.
We've got
it's versatile.
Everything.
All weather.
Except for pants. We don't have pants for you, so you have to provide your own pants. Sorry. We're not there yet.
Possible slutty Spooky Tuesday shorts coming in the future. Who knows?
Just really size up on your t-shirt and it can be a dress.
There you go.
Ooh, that's true. Try that. So yeah, we're really excited about this merchandise. We're really trying to make sure it gets to all of y'all in this short period of time. So this will be it. You have until Friday. That's it. So don't say, oh, can you extend it? No, we can't do that. It's this is your only chance. So keep that in mind. We love you. Sydney, what are we doing next week?
Okay, so next week, we went to the theater. Spooky Tuesday goes to the theater. Spooky Tuesday
we
goes
left
to
the house.
Movie. And we saw the movie that has been a buzzin' all over the internet, and that is Late Night with the Devil.
And woo-hoo! I saw a writer-director Q&A. So if you want inside info, baby, I've got it.
I want it. Ooh. I need it. I can't wait to talk about it next week.
And it also,
I can't
look,
wait to see it.
If you haven't made it to the theater and you don't think you'll be able to, guess what? We also timed this episode for its release on Shudder. So during the week that this episode is out, you're going to be able to watch it online. So you'll be prepped and ready to listen.
No excuse not to watch.
No excuse.
Our episode.
So considerate of y'all, actually. You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that? I've heard it. but yeah, I mean, this is a great opportunity, you know, for some permanently written compliments for us. What do you think? We just went through a rebrand. Did you notice that? How we're sexier now? You could write, you look so sexy with your hair pushed back, aka you got a new rebrand. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Somebody actually just gave us that review almost exactly. They said, love the new look, love the pod, something like that. Shouts out to that person. They rule.
We
so you
love
could be
them.
Like them and be giving getting love from us all the time. And also you could just give us a 5-star rating on Spotify. We love that too. Or Audible. Once again, it's still just Leo with the with the one review there, and you could be the
shout out to
one.
Leo though.
Shout out to Leo though. And why not follow us on social media? We're at Spooky_Tuesday on everything, pretty much, except for Facebook and Tumblr, where we are at Spooky Tuesday Pod. And here's another plug for our YouTube channel.
Lit.
We look really cute today, so you could be seeing that. And we just changed the way that we do the quotes on there, and there's little video clips now. Looks pretty sexy, cool. Honestly. It's I exciting. Was really proud of it. So come peep that. Come peep a clip if you'd like. And thank you for listening. Buy our merchandise, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye, spookies.
I just wanted our honeymoon. My body's here, but I'm leaving. They're taking everything. They're taking me. They're taking me.
Spooky Tuesday was created by Monica Height, Sydney Thompson, and Chelsea Duff, and edited by Sydney Thompson. Our gorgeously spooky tunes are all thanks to Tamara Simons, who you can follow on Instagram at great18_. That's GR818_. And our podcast art is by Ryan Braum, who you can find on Instagram at Ryan Braum Art. That's Ryan, RYAN, Braum, BROMM, Art, ART. Learn more about Spooky Tuesday at SpookyTuesdayPod.tumblr.com.